Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes.
I'm Reba Haas.
And each week we're going to be bringing you a roundup of real estate and mortgage news. And this is a live call-in show. Call us with your questions. 1-866-712-1300. 866-712-1300.
Or you can even send them to us on Twitter.
Sure.
If you find me at my handle, at Team Reba, you can certainly either do a direct message or just ping us on the app and I'll be able to catch it here in the studio and answer questions live.
And we will most likely, that's right, respond real time to that.
Yeah, so. And if they don't happen to come in while we're on the air, we'll save it for the next week and bring it back.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Reba, before the break, you were telling us a little bit of an update about the market. What's going on locally?
Okay, so we covered King County and what's going on with the average months, or not average, but the months of inventory. And I want to make sure and cover some of the other major counties around here because I think that's of interest to a lot of folks because you might live in Snohomish County but work in Bellevue or Seattle. So you want to know what's going on in your own areas too. So Snohomish County is currently at a 1.76 month inventory level. And that's compared to last year at this time of 2.65 months. So pretty much everyone across the board, Pierce County, same thing. They're at 2.45 months right now. Last year at this point was 3.34 months. Kitsap County was very similar at 2.53 for this month. And last year at this time was 3.89. So across the board in almost every single county in the state, we have reduced inventory of 1 to 2 months difference from last year. And that's been a trend that's been happening since about 2012.
What do you think the cause of that is?
Well, a lot of it was obviously, you know, when we had our recession, that started in mid-2007. And the builders that were overextended at that point and had more than they actually could complete, once they had gotten rid of all their inventory or gone under, we were at about 2009, right, for the year. And so we didn't really have any new building starts between 2009, 2010.
Sure.
And so that began part of the issue, along with the folks who were underwater. So if you look at the typical timeline that an American owns a home, prior to the recession, we were averaging 5 to 7 years.
Right.
And because of the loss of equity that a lot of people had, because it can cost a significant amount of money to sell your home. You know, it's usually anywhere between 6 to 10% of the cost. You know, so you have to have some appreciation. So that was a delay in appreciation for people. They'd either have to do a short sale, or they were barely breaking even, or they were losing equity positions if they'd put significant down payments down. So a lot of people just held off. You know, a perfect anecdote would be, I just had somebody contact me from Woodinville the other day that was someone I spoke to in 2007 or 2008. And the husband has just now decided to retire in early 2016. We had been speaking 7-8 years ago about that same situation, but the value went down. They're probably going to be in a better situation now. And one of the things that I do like that they've done in the meantime is they've done some updating and what have you to this older home. So they'll probably get everything back out of it. But the fact that we had that period of time with no new construction, lots of people in a wait and see mode, or they were just not in a position to sell, that just sucked up the available inventory that was there.
Sure. And now we have a lot of pent up demand.
Absolutely.
So
employment is in a much better position than it was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of jobs coming into the area, a lot of people moving into the area again. A lot of our large tech firms are still bringing people from out of area because we don't have certain kinds of workers that are needed locally. So they have to import those from other areas, other countries, other states, other cities. So there's just a huge amount of demand right now.
And most of the neighborhoods around locally here are pretty much caught up from where we were back in 2009, right?
The majority of them, yes, absolutely. When we go back and take a look at the people who are selling, we can see that they're either in a break-even position or they may actually be getting equity back again.
Good. And I guess even from a financing standpoint, I'd argue there's been so much reform and regulation in the mortgage industry that this run-up in prices recently is a lot healthier
Absolutely.
Prior run-ups in prices that were founded a lot on heavy speculation and maybe some questionable lending practices.
I would completely agree with you on that. Yeah, I've actually been a fan of the fact that things became more restrictive. Sorry to all the people out there having to fill out their mortgage applications and feeling like they're giving their first child away to the bank to get that loan.
We're all used to it now. It's not so bad anymore. it used to be a little, the pendulum swung pretty hard. Franklin,
and that's typical, right?
Oh, absolutely. And part of the, well, we might talk about this a little bit later today, but part of the changes in the industry was a significant amount of regulation put on lenders really kind of kicked in 2010. Mm-hmm. One of those is what's called the CFPB, the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau.
Which will be impacting us very soon again.
October 3rd. We might talk about that in a little bit as well.
Yes.
The head of the CFPB is Franklin Cordray, and he recently made a speech. He was talking about the changes in the mortgage market over the last decade or so were nothing short of dazzling was the term that he used. It's been significant what we've gone through. So
nothing short of dazzling?
Dazzling. I don't know if I'd use the same analogy.
Let me get my sunglasses on.
Yeah, there's some days where, back in the dark days of 2010, I would not have used the word dazzling, but that's okay. That's okay.
I could rarely see you using the term dazzling, period.
Well, it's kind of not by part of my vernacular, but...
Not really.
Okay, so we know that there's inventory are frighteningly low, and we know that there's lots and lots of buyers out there chasing not so many homes.
Yes.
So that leads to some problems for a buyer in this
Absolutely.
Market.
Absolutely, it does.
So let's talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. What do we need to worry about?
What you need to worry about or what strategies you need to put in place?
Let's talk about maybe the strategies because I think that the two kind of go...
I don't like to put fear into people's minds.
Not scare anybody.
Yeah, don't scare them. Like, let's be afraid. Be very afraid.
No, there's still some really good bargains out there. And I was reading a report from the Mortgage Bankers Association that's anticipating the next 11 years to be basically boom time, that we're seeing a shift in our demographics. We're going to see significant home purchase activity, going on for the extended future here. So
purchase activity, yes. Whether or not it's going to be boom times the whole period, in terms of, are we going to be matching the kind of appreciation we've had the last few years? Maybe not. Right. Because there's in my world, there's a lot of discussion that really it's the economists that I've been listening to are saying, the next 2 to 3 years, we're still going to get this really nice, strong appreciation like we've experienced the last three. But because of the millennials coming into the marketplace and, what kind of pushes or prods them to finally form their own households, that probably goes along with that 11-year period because that age group is definitely going to start filling in more of the buyer activity than what we're seeing today because there is still quite a few folks that are, still living at home and maybe they're not enjoying it, but it's a way for them to save money, pay down student debt, get themselves into a position to be able to purchase. And we're starting to see more and more of that kind of clientele coming into the marketplace right now, for sure. But to your question about, dealing with these multiple offer situations, what are some strategies people can put in place? There's three major points that I think you and I have talked about in the past that I want to make sure we convey today that in the preparation of going out and putting an offer on a property, especially if it's one that's, perfect condition, total move-in ready, there's going to be a lot of competition. You'll see lots of folks at an open house. So it kind of gets everyone's creative juices flowing gosh, how are we going to get this house? I got to have this house.
Feeding frenzy going.
Oh, yeah. They totally, set it up to get the feeding frenzy. It's like, putting chum out for sharks, right? So it's the kind of situation where, everyone's looking at each other going, who's here and who has an inspector and are they doing pre-inspections and, what can we do? How can we get a leg up on these? And there's lots of different strategies. So I know when we're talking with our clients, we try and set it up for success in a number of ways. One of them is look at how you're setting up your financing and how you're having your documentation for that as you submit offers, and then making sure you've got your lender on board for approaching whoever that listing agent is, because that's incredibly important.
Absolutely.
And then there's also the inspection process of, do you do one? Do you do a pre-inspection? Are they allowing pre-inspections? Are you doing a sewer scope? Those are all things that you have to really consider, and how they may or may not be weighed with how your offer is reviewed. And then there's the strategies within the offer itself, right? And whether or not you do escalation clauses or you do your highest and best. And we can go into some details specific to each of those points.
Sure. And the point is every contingency that you put into your contract basically is an escape clause for your buyer, or can be.
Not always escape clauses there, because a title contingency is not an escape clause. And I have seen agents remove that for contracts, which I guess I kind of understand why they might, because they want to have it look like it's a super clean offer, but they're removing something that's important for their client in terms of, it's not a control issue. It's a making sure they're covered and not taking on a liability that they're not anticipating, because there are liens that can show up after the fact or during your contract period that are a surprise.
Sure, but aren't you seeing a lot of offers now where the buyer is being persuaded to basically waive all of the protection they have in that contract
absolutely.
Just to get
deal? It's a little bit of a Wild West atmosphere. We had a multiple offer situation recently where a whole lot of people had not done a pre-inspection, and we were allowing them. We had the house on market for a week, allowing pre-inspections, and we still had 6 out of 8 offers that waived inspection. To this day, I'm like, I don't understand why. It seemed kind of silly to me, but okay. Yeah. And there were other elements that were completely wiped out of their contracts that completely stunned me and left their buyers kind of hanging in the wind, really.
Yeah, sure.
Because, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen after the sale closes, and I thought, okay, you know, it's not that we were going to be an unreasonable party, but I was really stunned at the number of things that they were removing. In some cases, I knew it was newer type agents that maybe didn't have experience or were following some guidelines that maybe were a bit questionable. But there were some folks who had a lot of experience too. So one of them in particular, though, she at least had worked in that development a lot.
Wow. We have a lot to talk about and how to come up with some strategies to avoid those pitfalls. When we come back, we're on Business Radio 1300 KKOL.
If you'd like to call into the show, now's your chance. It's 866-712-1300.